time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, guys. Happy Tuesday. We're rolling along. Happy to be back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm okay. Just wanted to, first of all, thank you publicly for how amazing you've been the past 2 weeks. It would have been very, very hard to get through this without you and Lance Zierlein. So just appreciate everybody here at GAO. After my dad passed away, they gave me as much time off as I needed. They were supportive. I got a really nice card. I had coworkers who, you know, donated to the MS Society on behalf of my dad. Of course, Paul, you do it, you know, you and Sean handling this by yourself. So a lot of people have lost a parent. I know a lot of our listeners have, and that support meant a lot. And people just saying that they're sorry meant a lot. And so I am happy to be back. And I know my dad was very much in favor of people working and moving on with life. And so that's what I'm going to do. So thank you for being so supportive.
Absolutely. It's great to have you back. We are family.
Yes, we are.
You know, so I'm here for you and you can be here for me through all my struggles.
Yeah, how
life.
Was your birthday? How was your birthday? Because I saw some of the pictures and some of the videos and I was hashtag concerned.
Well, you didn't see the really bad one. So,
oh, God, the ones I saw weren't the really bad ones.
Well, there's one of me, and I've debated posting it because I do think it's funny, but there's also a part of me where I'm like, damn, Paul, you're 33 years old now. Is this really how you're spending your Saturday nights? But I'm just passed out on a friend's couch.
Oh,
and one of my socks is just gone. And apparently one of my friends woke up. He's like, oh, Paul's here, I guess. Yeah. So I had a good time. But
where'd you go?
Started off on Saturday at Heights Beer Garden, went afterwards to Riva's, which is this great Italian place in Montrose.
That?
In Montrose. It's awesome. It's awesome. They give you the most outrageously big portions considering what you're paying for. And it's a very fun crew. And then we
Riva's.
Went to Riva's, yeah.
Okay.
Then I went to Bungalow and then I went to my friend's house afterwards, and apparently we were smoking cigars and singing musicals late into the night.
Don't remember any of it.
Nope, I know. But you know what? It's a Saturday.
It is a Saturday, and it was your birthday.
Yes, thank you.
So at what restaurant / bar did you feel like that turn? Like it took the turn?
Definitely at Bungalow. I mean, based off of looking back on my Instagram story and just seeing the outrageous dance maneuvers that I was trying to pull off, which were not very good. It's generally this, hey, like this swinging my arms back and forth and all of a sudden rolling dice. Like that's the, oh, he's gone. Move. Whoops. He had too much. Should he be taken home? Should he be wheeled out? Yeah. So
you had your Larry Bird birthday.
33. I did. Number 33. Yep.
Well, happy birthday, Pauly G. Larry Bird 33.
Well, thank
what?
You. Yeah.
All right. Draft season is near. Most
really
of us,
close.
Yeah. I mean, like, not this weekend, but next weekend.
We barely talked about it, too.
I know. And the shame in that is that the Texans actually have good, you know, high picks this year. So we'll see what they do with them. But one of the big storylines of the offseason has been Davis Mills. And look, it's the overreaction league, right? So you have some people fitting Davis Mills for a gold jacket, and then you have other people saying that he was trash.
Right. And those people are a little over the top, too.
And they're a little over the top, too. But one thing is that Lovie Smith seems to believe in Davis Mills.
He really does. And yesterday at their, hey, this is our offseason program, it is beginning, introductory press conference where we heard from Lovie Smith, we heard from Pep Hamilton. Once again, Lovie Smith endorsed Davis Mills. Here he is yesterday.
You know, if you look at all of my comments about Davis, I am a believer in him and what he's going to do. Eventually, he's got to do it all on the football field consistently, where everybody loves him, every snap and all of that. But before a guy has played enough to do all of that, it's just he shows up every day. Availability, he is available. And he has recruited other players to come here. And what the guys see him doing is just working. And when I say I believe in him, Pep Hamilton, second year in the system, all of these things. And if you just go back and look at the plays that he made, throwing the ball downfield last year, so many good things that he did. And that's as a rookie. The improvement that you see from year one to year two is normally, you know, a big improvement. And that's what we're going to get from him.
So I like what he said about the improvement from year one to year two, because I do think that you see where the trajectory is going to go. The other thing is that Lovie Smith had to work with Jameis Winston his first year. So I do think, like, a coach is never going to come out and say, oh, I hate this guy, I don't think he has any potential. But I do think Lovie Smith has seen some bad quarterbacks in his time, some mediocre quarterbacks, and guys that might not lead the way that you want them to lead as a rookie.
I think Jameis did eventually get a little bit better at it. But yes, the early years of Jameis Winston, whether it was on the field or off the field, there were certainly lots of things that you would want to pull out your hair with. Lovie Smith doesn't have any, so perhaps that is why we are at the stage we are now with a bald Lovie Smith. To Davis Mills, I have a question, though. It's about this coming season. They believe in him right now. And you have to, I think, publicly show that kind of support for a young quarterback. But as the season plays out, are they going to let him have the whole year? I wonder about that. It does feel like at this point in time, there's really no one that he is competing with, unless you're a Coug fan and you're like, Kyle Allen, bro.
Or Jeff Driscoll, right?
Oh, yeah,
or is he going to play tight end?
Yeah, that's good. Watch him get moved back to tight end again. Like, that's who he's competing with right now. So it doesn't seem like there's much competition there. And if there's not much competition there, it makes me feel like they're going to give him the full year. I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but say things don't work out, I would like another option.
We'll see what happens. Do you think the Texans even toy with the idea of drafting a quarterback?
They should. I don't know if they will.
I don't think they will.
They should, though. I think, all right, if you're not going to do it in the first or the second round, which is understandable because it doesn't seem like the quarterbacks in this year's draft class are going to be all that. But if it's later on, I mean, what's the harm in continuing to take flyers on quarterbacks after quarterbacks after quarterbacks? Bring them into camp, see what they can do. You don't like them? What's the harm? It's just a draft pick. You have 11 this coming draft.
Paul asked a good question, which is, why did some of the Texans that could have gone elsewhere come back? What made Brandon Cooks and some of the guys that you would think would want to go maybe to a winning team come back to the Texans?
We were both surprised that Laremy Tunsil didn't get moved.
Shocked.
And then Brandon Cooks comes back on the two-year deal, too. And that makes a little more sense to me, because I think you got to have that guy for Davis Mills. But that was something Lovie Smith was also asked about. And his answer as far as, hey, like, you got a lot of guys that came back this year. Do you have a sense as to why? What is it that drew them back to this team?
These are guys that had an opportunity to go somewhere else, that's been through our system and chose to come back. They believe in us being able to turn it around, continuing the process. And for us to know what we're getting in those guys, I mean, it was a marriage. I mean, they wanted to come, we wanted them, based on what they did this past year. Some of the guys you mentioned, that's how we want to start it. We want those guys to be the leaders to show the rest of the guys on how we do things. Even though, again, four wins, not enough. But there are some things that you like, and these guys you talked about, a lot of it, of course, is through them.
A couple of questions coming out of that. The first one is, what is it that drew those players back? Because it is something that you have to wonder about. Like, what is going on here that maybe we don't know about? And number two, when you hear him say that, and of course it's coach speak, is there something here that, is there some Kool-Aid here that we should perhaps be sipping? Because there maybe is a weird belief in this team that doesn't seem to have a whole lot of talent, and yet Laremy Tunsil and Brandon Cooks did opt to come back as opposed to go elsewhere.
I do think they like Lovie Smith. I do think the coaching staff is very player-friendly. I've never heard that players don't like Pep Hamilton. We've always heard good things about Lovie Smith, who is also going to serve as defensive coordinator, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I do think it's a player-friendly staff. I see Lovie Smith as somebody that gives a lot of guys independence. He's not going to treat them like kids. And I think everybody has different priorities, right, at different points in their career. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, speaking of priorities, guaranteed money, a huge one. Somebody speaking out about Deshaun Watson's contract. Plus, we get into LeBron James once again kind of playing coy with the Lakers situation.
The worst.
That's next.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant. My birthday is Saturday and my everything expires, so I have to do my taxes. Paul and I both still have to
We both haven't done our taxes. We both are in the process of getting new IDs.
Okay, and
how are we spirit animals like this?
I don't know, but it's kind of ridiculous. I also need somebody to explain to me, because I still don't get what's the difference between an ID and a driver's license, because my Indiana one, which I still have, I think is both.
Yeah, it's both. Yeah, you're fine. You're fine on that one.
Okay, but it's the it's the driver's license that is expiring.
Yes.
Okay.
So you just legitimately, since you have an out-of-state license still, yeah, right now. So this is what I learned the hard way, because I went to the DMV last week and they were like, hey, since you are from out of state, you have to change your registration. You have to get your car inspected. You have to do a whole process. So you're probably going to have to do the same thing I'm doing right now. I can tell you what I do, basically, the next time we're in.
I'm not good at any of this.
We're both on the struggle bus.
We are. We do have a caller, though.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. It's Chuck. 713-780-ESPN. What's going on, Chuck?
Hey, what's up? Hey, sorry about the background noise. I'm driving, but
all good, my friend.
I think I know why Brandon Cook's coming back. The Texans have become front office and very religious team, and Brandon Cooks is very religious. I've seen several interviews where he talks about Jesus being the most important thing in his life. So I imagine that has a lot to do with it. And plus, but I don't know about Thompson, but I'm guessing that's why Brandon Cooks came back to the Texans.
Chuck, thank you for the call. I actually don't completely disagree with that. And I say that because I think culture matters to certain guys. And the Texans do have a culture of religion. You know, we know who runs their...
Jack Easterby.
And Cal McNair's, the owner, is very religious too. So I don't think that's completely false. I don't know if it's the main reason, but I think that the money he's getting combined with he wants to be the number one guy, combined with the fact that he knows the front office and him vibe on their religious views, I don't think that's a terrible theory.
He did get 36 guaranteed million, but for the sake of not saying, he did it all for the money, I think there's something there. I mean, look, play to your strengths if you're the Texans right now. Mm-hmm. If that is this culture that you constantly preach about, if that can lure some players over, fine. I mean, shoot, it's worked pretty damn well at Clemson for Dabo Swinney. You can make some arguments about how authentic it is if you really want to. I sometimes get a little bit turned off by Dabo, but at the same time, it clearly plays to some people, and who am I to judge those people? If you like something like that, then why not? And if you're the Texans, ham whatever you got going for you up. Like, you, right now, as far as your dating profile goes, you aren't working with much.
Right. So
you're going to have, like, very funny descriptions about yourself.
At me next time.
Self-deprecating. Right. Right. Things like that.
I think that it's over, that we overthink how much it matters that a coach and coaches get along with players as far as like having things in common. And I say that because there are just so many examples of coaches and players that couldn't be more different. But yet they still really vibe well and they almost complement each other well. But I do like what Chuck said, and I think there's a point to that. So this is relatively new. Just about half an hour ago, J.C. Treader, who is the president of the NFL Players Association, sent out a tweet, and it says this: "Did you know guaranteed contracts are not included in the CBA for any sport? But we can make them the norm across the NFL. Here's how, based on what we can learn from the other major sports leagues," and it has a link. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network quote tweets this and says, "The NFLPA president now making a public push for players and agents to capitalize on the new precedent set by Deshaun Watson's fully guaranteed contract in Cleveland." This is interesting because, per Pelissero's point, you know, you saw Deshaun Watson get the $230 million guaranteed. Is this going to become the norm?
I don't think so. We live in a world of haves and have-nots, and I think it's the norm for great players. This is the norm for a quarterback who is considered at the top of his game. This is the norm for certain skill position players, and it might be the norm if you're a team that's not very good and you're trying to get a guy to join you, say like the Texans with Brandon Cooks, whether it's culture or it's a $39 million contract with 36 guaranteed. I mean, that's pretty damn guaranteed. I don't think this is something that actually applies, though, to every single player. So I understand what J.C. Treader is saying and what he thinks that the player should push for. But what owner is going to do this for, like, a rather replaceable veteran that's on the free agent market? How many players are actually going to qualify for this? So I get it. But as always, the NFL Players Association, let's be honest, is bleeped. This is a sport where players are seen as disposable parts. And the idea that they're going to make that the norm, when guys can get hurt, even if you're a great player and your career is totally different. Say David Johnson, remember before he came to the Texans? I mean, he was a great running back with the Cardinals, and he broke his wrist, and somehow that made him not the same running back anymore. It can go really quickly. So I get what he's trying for, but good luck.
I think that when you're Tom Pelissero and you're one of these national reporters, you are pressured sometimes to push these narratives that there's a possibility of something happening, even when there's very little chance. Even though we're in an age of player empowerment, I don't see the average Joe, who's a decent player, being able to push for guaranteed contracts. Credit where it's due to David Mulugeta and Athletes First, because the fact that we're even talking about this when Deshaun Watson had everything going on and was still able to get $230 million is incredible. And I don't mean that in a good way.
Yeah. I mean, look, David Mulugeta did a good job, but like, gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
that's kind of how we feel.
On a lot of different fronts. 7169 on the text line says, GMs can offer less money, fully guaranteed, or more money, partially guaranteed. Yeah. It can offer less money, fully guaranteed, or more money, partially guaranteed. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of different angles that you can do things if you're a GM.
I'm no cap expert.
And we don't pretend to be.
Right. I mean, numbers, put them in front of me. And even if I did well on the SAT when it came to math, I don't know.
Humble
what
brag. Humble brag, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Paul. I'm
actual
smart.
Brag. Actual brag, Vanessa. There once was a time back in the day where numbers didn't intimidate me. But now, they scare the hell out of me. And it's trying to explain them on the radio is even more difficult.
Yeah, it's
but
tough.
There are ways that you can make a contract work in so many different ways, whether it's to help you with the salary cap or whether it's to perhaps lure a guy in and say, like, look, man, we're giving you a ton of guaranteed money or something like that. But I would just say, as far as full guarantees, that is what J.C. Treader is talking about here. And that's not happening. It's only happening for Deshaun Watson's and somehow Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins, yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow in Minneapolis, he got that done.
Unbelievable.
I whatever skill he has at talking to people of authority and all front office members and his agent, I want that skill.
I mean, I think he just says everything that he seems like someone who would be perfect at saying everything the company wants to hear. I don't know if you've ever seen the musical How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, but it's one that I used to listen to a whole lot in my dad's car growing up. I do it the company way. There's a song called that where the guy's basically talking about how he's a kiss ass. And that's how he's made it 40 years at the company. It's just by being a kiss ass.
Don't knock it.
Right. Don't rock the boat. Just be the absolute boring, bland person that you are, Kirk Cousins, at work.
There's something to be said for that. All right. Frank Vogel is out from the Los Angeles Lakers, fired by the Buss family. 127-98 in three seasons as head coach, but the Lakers, of course, with all those superstars, fail to make the play-in tournament this year. How do we feel about this?
I mean, I just love watching the Lakers burn.
Yeah, they're burning.
It's beautiful. It is so amazing to watch. LeBron comes here. Oh, we're going to win all sorts of titles. It's me and Anthony Davis. And look, there are some injuries that you can point at, but it's great to watch this giant steaming turd just fester and fester some more from afar, because I don't have to smell it. I don't live in L.A. I don't have to talk about this every single day. Seeing LeBron James, too, did you see how he tried to act like he's not a part of this still? Oh, my God. He's so full of it.
He always plays coy, right? So he said that in the media room interview after Frank Vogel was fired, he said the season was, quote, not a failure. That's wrong. I mean, you have Russell Westbrook. Yeah, he said it was, quote, not a failure.
What a fraud.
Beyond a failure.
Unbelievable.
And then he said something along the lines of where, you know, they're going to ask me, the front office, they're going to ask me for my opinion and, you know, whatever, I'll give it. Like, he's not driving the ship.
It's weird because, yes, you're right. He's playing like two sides of this fence where someone was asking him. This is his answer. And we have this. Sean Mays behind the glass doing a great job bringing all the audio together.
Oh, Sean.
We had a laugh listening to LeBron James say, like, hey, like, you clearly knew what was going on with Frank Vogel, right? And this was his response.
I mean, to be direct, have you been told? I mean, it certainly sounds like you have. Have you been told that he's not going to be back?
It certainly sounds like I haven't.
Okay.
I have not been told. I've seen the reports just like everybody. else. So we see what happens.
What does that even mean? He's just responding to the questions. The guy says, it certainly sounds like you know. It certainly sounds like I haven't. That doesn't even make sense. That's a terrible comeback, LeBron.
It's awful. He knows that his prime is ending. He knows that they put together this geriatric team and thought that it was going to be a guarantee to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and I will say...
keep that same energy, Vanessa.
Right, yeah. You would... keep that same energy. I hate when people say stuff like that. It's why it's really hard to
but
date
no,
guys.
But no, keep it. I like that you're keeping the energy. It's obnoxious. It's a negative energy.
It is very negative energy, but LeBron James is obnoxious. And he says things like this, like he's not helping run the show behind the scenes. Frank Vogel, I know that it was a shortened season, but they won the championship. I mean, that is the definition of a what have you done for me lately league. And we know the NFL's like that, like, right? Like Doug Peterson, after winning a Super Bowl,
but
gets fired.
You still get a little extended breathing room after you win a title.
You would think.
And basketball is just different. Like basketball, does the star like you or does he want to stab you to death?
Right.
And, I mean, we all know what LeBron wanted to do to Frank Vogel, even though it's legitimately LeBron's fault. And even funnier, Vanessa, is afterwards, even after this roster of olds that he put together, nothing against those folks who are up there in age.
Yeah, God bless
you. But what did you think was going to happen with Carmelo Anthony and Russell Westbrook as like two of the signature additions that you made this offseason? So LeBron already sounding like he's the general manager once again. He was asked about the roster going forward in this same press conference.
Which, if you are helping make decisions, just own it. Go ahead.
Here is LeBron. You need to hear this one, Vanessa. This is great.
I mean, it's human nature to automatically start thinking about the roster and what it could look like and how we could obviously have a roster that brings in more wins. I mean, that's the most important thing. That's the job that we're in. So I've started to think about it a little bit, but, you know, it's not, you know, solely on me, obviously.
Okay.
We definitely want to be better. We want to be better coming in next year. That's the most important thing for the summer.
It's not on. You say you're the greatest player of all time. You're cocky. All right, LeBron. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. Speaking of somebody that everything that comes out of their mouth isn't exactly smooth, Cam Newton just cannot keep his mouth shut. And then on that same token, Adam Schefter kind of ? Issues an apology. That's next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks!
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey guys, it's Vanessa Richardson. Alongside me is Paul Gallant, and then we have Sean Mapes behind the glass with you on this Tuesday. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You?
Good. Hanging in there. Cam Newton, what to say about Cam Newton? You could start with his fashion. You could talk
like
about controversy. Yeah, I'm sure you do. but he was on, what was this, a podcast?
Yes, it's $1 million worth of game. It's a Barstool Sports podcast.
Oh, that explains part of what we're about to hear. Cam Newton had some interesting comments, not about anything football related, but, you know, we wake up every morning and we think, oh my God, I would love to know what Cam Newton thinks about women. And we heard. So let's play that, Sean.
I grew up in a three-parent household, my mom, my father, and my grandmother. And I knew what a woman was, not a bad bitch.
Okay, what's the difference?
A woman.
Okay.
A bad bitch is a person who's just, you know, girl, I'm a bad bitch. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that.
I
look the part, but I don't act the part.
Okay.
You know, and it's a lot of women who are bad bitch, and I say bitch in a way, not to degrade a woman, but just to go off the aesthetic of what they deem is a boss chick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a woman for me is handling your own, but knowing how to cater to a man's needs, mm-hmm. right? And I think a lot of times when you get that aesthetic of like, I'm a boss bitch, like I'm a this, I'm a that. No, baby, but you can't cook.
Okay.
You don't know when to be quiet. You don't know how to allow a man to lead.
Okay, so here's the thing. I actually don't mind as much the cooking comment. Like if you as a guy, you really like a woman that can cook, it's probably similar to how women like men that can do certain things and have certain skills. Like that part as a woman does not bother
me. It's not like he said only cook.
Right.
Stay in the kitchen.
That actually was like, to me was not, I wouldn't say fine, but it was like, that's whatever. It's his opinion. That you don't know when to be quiet was like red flag of the year. Like, I would never think that Cam Newton would even think of saying that.
A talk show host feeling this way? Well, we're both going to be on the same page as far as that goes, I mean, if you're telling somebody else that your implication for them is that they should never talk, I mean, if you're an athlete, I guess that there are some people that are going to be willing to do that. This is clearly what he is looking for. I don't know if he's getting what he is looking for, by the way, because this is a guy who, if I'm not mistaken, did have 5 kids with one woman, but then had a little side thing going on with an Instagram model, et cetera. So, I mean, look, the weird thing is, in 2022, I guess I'm supposed to say, who am I to judge? But I don't know. I just think it's lame that's what he's into. Like, really? Don't you want someone that's not a wallflower? I want someone who's a badass that's going to push me. And honestly, I wouldn't mind if that person is way more successful than I am. Because look, I'm a sports talk show host. Yeah. Like, what kind of rope do I have as far as like making a big pile of money towards the end of my career? I hope it happens, but it's more likely if I win the lottery that I'm going
to
get that.
You need to marry the neurologist.
Oh yeah, or something like that. Well, yeah, I don't know. We'll see if that's still going. That might be on the fritz.
Jury's out on
that. No, I mean, from Saturday, that's the problem. You know, your boy. See, maybe I could have taken a page from Cam Newton and just shut up.
Maybe
instead.
She likes drunk guys.
Seven
text messages in a row.
I spoke a different language to her on Saturday based off of reading those texts. Good God.
0061 on the text line. I'm glad says this. Cam dresses like a bad chick. Okay, so that actually brings me to my point with one of the issues with what Cam Newton said. I have to be really careful how I say this, so let me. If Cam Newton wants a traditionally feminine woman, and when I say traditionally, I mean let's take it back to the 40s, 50s, and 60s on what women were expected to do, which was to know their place,
stay
be quiet,
in the kitchen, see?
Yes, and to stay in the kitchen. If he wants a traditionally feminine woman, he needs to be traditionally masculine. Now let me say this. I do not care what people do. Literally could not care less what a guy wears versus what a woman wears versus how you feel about gender. Do what you want and be who you are. But if he is going to take the angle, okay, of I want a woman who's in the kitchen, knows when to be quiet. I think he said verbatim, know when to let a man lead, then he needs to dress traditionally masculine. He needs to go out and change tires. He needs to have an auto body shop and roll up his sleeves and do all of the things that traditionally masculine men do. Instead, he does not do that. He definitely does not dress traditionally masculine, and some of the language and verbiage he uses, quite frankly, is traditionally feminine. So my issue with it is that it's extremely inconsistent with what he wants versus the way that he acts. I don't care if he says he thinks women should cook. Everybody has skills that they like their partner to have. But certainly him acting like some traditional 1960s come home from work and...
Well, maybe he is based off of Mad Men.
Yeah. I mean, no, not the way he dresses.
Well, Mad Men.
No, you're not wearing hot pink jumpsuits.
I mean, they wore that all the time in the 60s.
No, I don't think
Don Draper showed up wearing
maybe if you're at the Woodstock Festival, but not if you're...
Don Draper showed up once to work looking like he had just gotten in a shootout at the OK Corral, you know? Like, sometimes that's just how Don Draper does. Well, I would just say, as far as the Don Draper sometimes coming home and maybe not... And look, again, I don't care either. Like, you know, if it works for your family, then... I mean, have at it.
Yeah, but be consistent. Be consistent.
No, this is a strong take.
So dress masculine, work on cars, smoke cigars, do some bars.
We're learning a lot
what?
Of yeah, I like no, these bars I, here, and no, we're learning but, stuff about you.
But, like, if you're going to be like that, if you're going to be traditional and you're going to be, like, the whole let a man lead and be biblical, like, if that works for you, that's cool, but you better hold up your end of the bargain and not be wearing paisley shirts with feathers in your fedoras.
I would just say to that point, too, yeah, I mean, this is who you're targeting, fine. You seem to be judging everyone, though, based right. off of the specific type that you like, and I mean, that's kind of messed up. Like, same thing for me. Say I were to be like, if you're not 5'3" and have a great butt and abs, then like you need to fix it up. And be like, wait, so am I gonna shrink or what am I gonna do here? Like all sorts of surgery, you know? Like that's essentially what I'm hearing from him. He's like, you need to fit inside my box if you are anybody out there. And all right, you're closing the door to a lot of possibilities here, Cam.
Yeah. So this is King of Twitch on our. King of Twitch, Hugh Text, that's a really long username, says, some women tend to talk too much. Some men do too. Which is a fair point if he would have just said that. Some people talk too much.
I
prefer
up.
Someone a little more quiet. That's fine. Yeah. 0061, how are you 6'10 wearing a romper? I don't care. And I want to reiterate that I don't personally care what people wear. I'm just saying if he's going to act like it is the Mad Men era, he needs to dress like that.
You can care what people wear, though. And I mean, if he's this judgmental, I mean, we could be judgmental of it, too. I don't have a problem with it because I think it's funny. However, it is much. It is a bit much, right?
Vanessa with the cam burn, yeah. Well, because he's obnoxious. Speaking of talking about things you probably shouldn't talk about in ways you shouldn't talk about it, it was very unfortunate over the weekend. Dwayne Haskins, Washington Commanders quarterback, killed in South Florida while he was training. It was dark. It was on the highway, and he was there's a lot of theories about what was going on. Maybe he ran out of gas, went to go get gas, but he was hit by a dump truck and killed instantly. And the way that Adam Schefter broke the news was what a lot of people are saying is one of his more insensitive moments. I'm going to pull the tweet up right now. This is how Adam Schefter broke the story that Dwayne Haskins had died. Dwayne Haskins, a standout at Ohio State before struggling to catch on with Washington and Pittsburgh in the NFL, died this morning when he got hit by a car in South Florida. Per his agent, Haskins would have turned 25 on May 3rd. Dwayne Haskins, a standout at Ohio State before struggling to catch on. The wording was a little awkward here.
Yeah, and it read sort of like an article, but it was as if he put what probably would have been in the third or fourth paragraph into the first paragraph.
Into the first part of the tweet.
And since he has a Twitter account with 9 million followers, this blows up. And even if he does a retraction or deletes it, first off, it lives on forever. Second off, not everybody is going to see whatever maybe comes next. But I guess something did come next. Did he actually discuss his mistake?
So on his podcast... Eventually on his podcast, he did apologize for it.
But he didn't tweet it.
Nope.
Huh.
He didn't tweet it. He actually deleted that tweet within a couple of minutes and put a fresh one up.
Okay.
But he never tweeted an apology. And here's the thing with Adam Schefter. He's obviously the best at what he does. But this is the one thing in a long line of mistakes.
It's been a lot recently.
When it came out that years ago, he sent somebody the article about them and called that person Mr. Editor. And then he had the poorly worded Deshaun Watson tweet.
That one was the most
recent
one.
Saying Deshaun Watson was innocent.
Essentially implying it. He didn't quite say it, but it was like, this is what Deshaun Watson was waiting for all along. And it's like, calm down, dude.
There are things, you know, he had issues with the Dalvin Cook story. And so I just think maybe Adam Schefter needs to, with the Dalvin Cook domestic violence situation, just take a step back and just think about the way that he words things.
Yes. The Dalvin Cook one was, I would just say recently, he has been very much tweeting almost exactly whatever an agent is saying.
And it's obvious.
And this time was like where, hey, maybe tweet exactly what the agent is saying here, seeing as the guy's client died. And
just
a died. 24-year-old kid.
Not great. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we discuss an MLB player's comments about the Astros not being the only ones cheating. And he went pretty in-depth here. That's next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. There's still some chatter about the Astros having cheated. I think most people who are adults have moved on. You do have Katie Nolan on the Apple broadcast that felt the need to bring it up like five times.
Well.
Oh, I forgot you love Katie Nolan. Oh, God.
I was called a simp for her yesterday.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying there's no truth.
I liked the Apple TV broadcast on Friday, though. I thought it got
better as it went on.
Yeah, I thought it got better as it went on. This might be an unpopular take.
We haven't talked about it's not popular at all.
Right.
You liked the Apple broadcast?
I thought it got better as time went
what
on.
What did you like about it?
Other than the
fact that you like Katie Nolan.
I felt like they developed chemistry in like the sixth or seventh inning. And I'll be honest, when I'm watching a baseball broadcast, I want it to be more about not baseball. Sorry. I want it to be more about the discussions around it.
Oh.
And I understand, like, hey, you know, if you're going to do a baseball broadcast on a night-to-night basis, that it's going to sound pretty similar every single time. You're going to have the play-by-play voice with the pipes. You're going to have the color commentator, and you're going to have the reporter on the side too. But I always feel like the little sidebar conversations that they have on those always feel a little bit forced and are uninteresting. Where in this one, I felt like they actually were going in some directions where I was like, oh, this is an interesting conversation. This makes me feel like, hey, since there is about a minute in between pitches sometimes, where I'm actually hearing something that is a entertaining conversation as opposed to just a long, pregnant pause.
So I think first of all, I like when people try something new. So I don't agree with everybody that was being very, very mean to Katie Nolan. I think they did her a disservice by calling her an analyst.
She was a fan watching.
But the fact that they called her an analyst really messed things up for her. Because,
Hunter was the analyst.
Right, correct.
Hunter Pence and what's-his-face was the play-by-play.
Yeah. So here's my deal with what you said. And I see where you're coming from. But to me, that needs to be a separate, like, Manning cast type deal.
Okay.
If they're going to make jokes the whole time and if she's going to say things like, is that good? Or, oh, I don't know. Wow. Like,
it's not a bad impersonation.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't know what to do with my hands. Here's my issue with that. Then do a separate baseball Manning cast, because I actually think she's way smarter than they made her out to be. And I think she's way smarter than the role that they let her have. And maybe she chose that, but the whole self-deprecating, I don't know what I'm talking about thing, I think works on podcasts and comedy bits, but I would have actually liked to have heard her opinion on baseball.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay.
So not a hater. I actually think she's good. I just don't think that they allowed her the role.
Well, so she made comments about the Astros cheating.
Yeah,
so
thank you for bringing it full circle.
Someone
ADHD.
Has made comments about the Astros cheating, but has been defending the Astros,
yes,
if you will?
Steven Souza Jr. This was really interesting. It happened over the weekend. Former Dodgers outfielder said that more than half the league was cheating like the Astros. He said on Twitter, quote, I know you don't want to hear this, but the Astro guys are actually some really good human beings over there. The conversation then continued and said, I'm not going to get into all that, but you should know that if you think Houston was the only team with the sign stealing system, you're dead wrong. This person then replied back, talked some smack about Jose Altuve, to which Steven Souza Jr. says, I hear you, but if you only knew how many teams were doing it, you wouldn't be as mad at Jose Altuve. So, alas, he says basically that the Astros, and we know this, but I think to hear somebody who's been on so many teams, because he's been on over six teams, to hear somebody like that say it, I think is more compelling.
It was happening. The Astros did it to a degree that was a lot more extreme than other teams. That said, this was happening everywhere. The Dodgers were doing this in the 2017 World Series. You can't tell me otherwise. If you ask Lance McCullers about what happened in that game, and I remember having conversations with him at the other radio station in town that I used to work at about, hey, like, why were things getting so crossed up in Game 7 where there were pass balls and all sorts of wackiness, and it felt like there was a lot of time it was taking for everyone to get just the pitches to home plate, and there was paranoia on both sides about sign stealing. It was going on everywhere, and the Yankees did things, the Red Sox did things, the Texas Rangers did things, and there are more. I remember, too, we were going to have, when I was in Seattle at 7:10, we were going to have somebody on the air who was going to talk about how a lot of teams were doing it, and then something happened where he just couldn't do it all of a sudden at the last second. And I think it was because there was a league-wide memo sent out to say, like, shut up.
Right.
We're not talking about this anymore. We're moving on. Do you want the skeletons in your closet exposed? Oh, you who seem so mighty, who seem so moral, altruistic, pure, Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger, et cetera. Like,
how
guys
about
like that.
Mike, the guy that started it, Mike Fiers, and all of the things that he has awkwardly been accused of?
He's in Mexico now.
Yeah, I have no doubt that he is, because I think the rules are a little different there. But he's been accused of some disturbing things, and I'm not going to get into it because I don't get into what hasn't been proven.
Whoa.
But...
okay.
Yeah, wait, you don't know about this?
I don't know about
this. Break,
but, oh, wow. Okay.
But yeah, no, like, yeah, I mean, he who cast the first stone, I think, or something from the Bible. I'm religious. I should know that. But.
I figured it was going to be about how he once had a beard that was a G, and that was an insult to all people with beards. Okay.
Speaking, but we move on with Alex Bregman being named the AL Player of the Week. Good for him.
He had
a rough patch. He had some problems coming back from injuries. And he had said on Twitter over the offseason that he was going to come back better than ever.
He has been better than ever. He's been awesome. I don't know what to point at in his game that hasn't been incredible, other than the fact that he didn't play for some reason on Saturday, which is annoying to some people that called in yesterday. Matt, a listener of the show, was like, why didn't he play Saturday? And I can't understand that either, because whether it was in the field making plays at third base or it was just absolutely smacking the bejesus out of the ball, he has been awesome to start off the season. And assuming his health, I mean, right now, it feels like he's got a damn good chance
to be
MVP.
100%.
Yeah. And you know, it's good because Altuve's off to a bit of a slow start again, one series. But you need your star players to carry you. And if Bregman's going to open things up like this, you assume that when everybody else gets up to speed, Altuve, Alvarez, and some of the others, that this is going to be the lineup that it's been just about every single year. And I'm really, really impressed by how he started off the season. I thought he would be good. I did not think he was going to smack homers, get all the clutch singles and hits that you need. And the web gems, too. Like I said it before, they've been amazing thus far.
When you look at the fact that the Astros lost Carlos Correa, it was apparent that they were also going to need people to step up in big moments and have some big hits and add, I hate the word momentum in sports, but add some momentum and that little spark. I think Alex Bregman can do that. We've seen him do it. He just had so many issues with consistency and injury that it is nice to see him start off hot for sure. Rangers lose a game on a slide violation. You brought this up.
Yes. Oh, you hate to see it. Poor Texas Rangers. Now, there is a part of me that actually disagrees with this call because it's my macho football side that believes that more fouls should happen in basketball, that likes Patrick Beverley, and that also thinks that quarterbacks shouldn't be allowed to slide and that players shouldn't be allowed to run out of bounds or give themselves up on a play. Yes, I'm a hard-o meathead, but in baseball, if you slide into second base and you're going at the person who's trying to turn a double play, that is now something that you can be called out on. And this is what happened in last night's game between the Colorado Rockies, who at the time had a 6-4 lead on the Texas Rangers.
You got to be able to remain on the base.
The call is overturned. There's a slide rule violation at second base. Yep. That runner's out. The runner at first base is out.
It's in the rule. You have to be able to remain on the base at the concussion.
I'm impressed by how loud the crowd was.
Yeah.
Because you can't even hear the commentary going forward on this.
I lose this argument.
They took issue with it, obviously. That's the Rangers broadcast. But I got to say, I mean, I understand where they're coming with that call. And if it comes at the Rangers' expense, I think I could be okay with the rule in that spot. But I didn't think it was particularly egregious. I felt like he got onto the bag. And the guy at second base, I suppose he couldn't step through the throw, and he made an awful throw to first base and basically threw it into the stands. And next thing you know, okay, well, the Rangers actually could have won the game in that spot. But obviously that did not happen. I liked watching it anyway.
The replay of that was interesting for sure.
Oh, poor South Oklahoma.
Made the rounds on Twitter. All right, coming up, some more Texans chatter ahead of the draft. We get into Lovie Smith's comments over the weekend that he made with the media. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.